Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the only morning show you need to get you through that commute. Get you ready for your Monday. Get you mentally prepared for the week to come. You're listening to the Jason Rancho live on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on all those smart speakers out there like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a lot to get to. Only 1 hour left to do it. Tacoma's bathrooms go gender neutral. John Kelly is out as chief of staff. We're going to tell you what that means for the president. Plus, the Heisman Trophy winner gets a newspaper hit piece treatment leveled against him. It's disgusting. We're going to get into that and so much more. But first, it's time to get you to work the right way with Right Way Traffic, brought to you by the Online Trading Academy.
Accident in Issaquah, westbound 90, still blocking two right lanes approaching Sunset. 18 and the Maple Valley Highway are wide open. If you are in a position to take that as an alternate, it is the long way around, though, if you're going up to 405, however, and the S-curves are pretty jammed. We still have a problem on southbound 5 coming up at the West Seattle Bridge near Forest as well. And now that's kind of melding with the regular commute, so you're heavy pretty much from Northgate all the way down to I-90. That's AM 770 KTTH traffic.
Attend a free online trading academy workshop. Text the keyword backup to the number 57682 and register for workshops in Seattle, Bothell, Mukilteo, Linwood, and Tacoma. Text backup to 57682. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
So Chief of Staff John Kelly, he is out. He's going to be out by the end of the year. Should not be a shock to many of you because we've been talking about these rumors for the last several months. Over the weekend, the president said,
John Kelly will be leaving, but I don't know if I can say retiring, but he's a great guy. John Kelly will be leaving at the end of the year. We'll be announcing who will be taking John's place. It might be on an interim basis. I'll be announcing that over the next day or two, but John will be leaving at the end of the year. He's been with me almost 2 years now, as you know, between the two positions.
Now, the turnover is not a shock. This is generally about the amount of time that goes by where you've got people who are leaving. And you just heard him there saying, you know, we might have someone on the interim basis. Now, the belief was over the weekend that Nick Ayers would take over. Nick Ayers is the current chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence. But he has since said, nope, not I don't want the job. He apparently couldn't come to terms with the president. I think a lot of that has to do with, if I'm reading the New York Times piece correctly, is this desire to spend more time with his family back in Georgia. He's only either 35 or 36 years old. This is not necessarily a lifestyle you can take on as a chief of staff of a president when you're also trying to spend time with your family. It's just not sustainable. So rather than get involved, he says there are much better people, more qualified to do this job than I am, which is a little bit of a humble brag because that's what you say when you know you're the best person for the job, but you want to say no and not get too much of a pushback. So it's not going to be Nick Ayers. There's no clear successor to John Kelly. Part of the reason why John Kelly left, apparently, is that he was having a hard time managing President Trump. And let's be clear, President Trump does not seem like an easy person to manage. That is the job of chief of staff. You're supposed to be managing the person, in this case, the president. You're supposed to handle some of the political nuances in some of these fights. You're supposed to be able to keep people and things away from the president so that that president does not get inundated with a whole bunch of different people getting in his ear, telling them what they want. The chief of staff is supposed to be the one in charge. And President Trump doesn't have that personality. I think he likes to hear from a lot of different people. And by the way, that is a plus and a bad and a negative, right? This whole idea of I want to hear all sides. I want to hear all types. I want to hear all people. That could be a lot. And that can confuse the issue more than it needs to be. But it also means you're open to hearing people who disagree with you, which is a good thing. So it's sort of a mixed bag. But that's going to be a sort of a problem for whoever the next chief of staff is going to be. Now, the question is, can folks on the Hill get along with the president without a John Kelly there, who has been, for the most part, been able to calm some of the negative tendencies of the president down? And on CBS, Senator Marco Rubio says, yeah, look, we'll still work with the president. It's not like all of what we did was tied specifically to John Kelly.
Well, I don't think it'll impact negatively in any way our ability to work with the White House or to get things done. I have a lot of admiration for General Kelly. I've always found him to be a professional, someone who works hard and gets things done. And like every administration, you know, the president's, there'll be changes in that position. It's a hard and difficult job. And so obviously he'll be missed.
So I'm not necessarily saying that there's a tie-in to this job opening, but I do have a big announcement coming up soon. I'm not saying it's specifically tied to John Kelly leaving. I'm just saying I have an announcement coming up soon, and I'll probably make it within the coming days. I'm just throwing it out there. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Tacoma?
Tacoma just pushed a virtue signaling law, which should not alarm anyone on either side of this issue. No one should jump for joy or get all angry that they're moving towards gender-neutral bathrooms, forcing restaurants and shops to label single-stall bathrooms with signs that indicate gender-neutral, because that they're already kind of gender-neutral. They're single-stall built. This is not the same as opening up a locker, right, a locker room with multiple people to folks who are transgender or folks who are non-conforming, whatever that actually means, because I know that definition changes from time to time. So everyone can chill out just a little bit, because we've talked about this in the past, where I understand why some folks are upset or concerned that a biological male who is a transgender woman, presents as a woman, will use a locker room with your kid who's 14 years old and you don't want them exposed. Like, I totally get those concerns. Totally get it. This isn't one of those stories. This is a story where we're talking about single-use bathrooms being used by anybody who wants to use them. I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that. The people who shouldn't be okay with that are people who respect the idea, the notion of clean bathrooms, because now that men can use bathrooms that women otherwise would have used, it means it's going to get much grosser. Because men, for whatever reason, can't control their stream. And I'm talking about it's everywhere. For the women out there who've never actually gone into a men's bathroom, it can be disgusting. Now, we've had, producer Darren and I had an earlier argument, I suppose, about the cleanliness of female bathrooms. I'm told overwhelmingly that women's bathrooms are so much better than men's.
No, see, I have not
heard the opposite.
I've heard the opposite.
And they're just as bad.
Women listening to us who want to text in,
1-800-465-8770.
Let us know how dirty women's bathrooms are.
I think you're crazy.
No, I've heard that they're horrible. I've heard they're worse than men's.
I've been to one women's bathroom before because I had to pick some. It was at Brandy Cruz when she used to work here. She left something in the bathroom. She asked me to take it. And so I did the whole, I knocked. I said, is anyone in here? I got to come in. No one was in there. I walked in. Immediately, there was classical music on in the background. I smelled the smell of lavender. There were plush seats.
It was live
everywhere.
Music. Oh,
there was a guy was a jazz on a musician. Piano in the back playing his thing. And it was a dude. I think it was blind, so it was okay.
Don't say dude playing his thing in the women's bathroom in the same sentence.
Fair point.
Yeah.
I will give you that, sir. So everyone, don't freak out about this. Unless you respect clean bathrooms, which inevitably will not happen as a result of anyone using these bathrooms. 1-800-465-8770. It's the number to tax resolution hotline. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
At home. Let's talk about Kitsap County. Let's talk about the fact that they are having second thoughts about a mobile needle exchange program that's being run by the People's Harm Reduction Alliance, where they're just handing out to addicts clean needles so that they, when they use, they're not using dirty needles, which can spread disease like HIV or hepatitis. And so on the one hand, you're like, okay, that's good, because we don't want these people who are already dealing with addiction to also have to deal with an HIV infection. But for me, you know what I usually say is I would prefer they not had to deal with an easier route to shoot themselves up with heroin, because I would rather provide treatment on demand, which is something that we talk about wanting, but no county or city is willing to pay for. And so instead, they go this lazy route of handing out clean needles. Now, in Kitsap County, this program is facing an uncertain future, according to King 5, because they just don't have the money. They don't have the money. This is a program that's constantly in the red. And so they're thinking, at least according to Bremerton Mayor Greg Wheeler and Poulsbo Mayor Becky Erickson, the thinking is, okay, let's cut down on some of the costs by housing this program in an actual clinic rather than giving it a van to go out and having to staff it and deal with all those things. Now, of course, the people who want to pass out these free clean needles, they're complaining. Activists are complaining. But then you've got others like Bremerton Parks Director Jeff Elevato saying, hey, we're finding dozens of used needles in the parks every single day, literally every single day. And we're concerned about exposing people to the diseases on those used needles that are being passed out clean. Then they get used, then they get tossed. Because for the longest time, we used to have an actual exchange. We call these exchanges. They're not exchanges. They're not exchanges at all. They're handouts. An exchange would generally mean, it's meant this in the past, where you've got a used needle, you then turn it in, and then you get an exchange for clean needles. But they stopped doing that. They stopped doing that. And they don't really care where these people are dropping their used needles. They just want to make sure that in the moment, people who are interested in shooting heroin into their system have a clean needle to do that. I think that is a backwards concern. I'm more concerned about the kids who are using parks. I'm more concerned about the staff workers who are cleaning up these parks and finding these used needles everywhere. A very easy way to push back against the folks who are like, oh, this is all about harm reduction. Well, you know what's about harm reduction is treating their addiction so that they're not shooting themselves up with any drug that's going to ultimately kill them. Oh, but they won't get HIV in the moment. They'll still die long term. In fact, we're just prolonging their suffering by allowing them to go down this horrible, destructive path with heroin. But just in the moment, they're not, okay, cool, got it, thanks. I guess it's a little bit too hard to actually treat the problem. I guess it's a little bit too expensive to treat the problem. So what you'll do instead is give them some needles. Got it, cool. When do we become so lazy? Oh, because we don't want to judge people who are addicted to heroin? I can't judge someone who's been successfully treated. How about that? How about that as a pushback? 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send us a text. 1-800-465-8770. By the way, we got some text. Men's bathrooms never smell clean. Women are messy, though. So we've got the problem of it's the smell is worse than the look. The women's looks worse than it smells.
That could be.
Here's another text. Having spent time as a janitor, the women's bathrooms and lockers were always way worse than the men's.
See, I think that's an opinion that should be taken seriously.
Okay, well then men should be upset then with the gender-neutral bathrooms because now the men's rooms are going to get even worse.
Exactly.
Which is hard for me to imagine them getting any worse than they currently are.
Because when men go to the bathroom, it's business only. When women go to the bathroom, there's one of a dozen different things they could be doing in there, and each one of them could be messy.
What are they doing in there? Don't tell me. Don't say it. Don't say what I know you're about to say. Ew. It's the Jason Rance Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show live, the Online Trading Academy studio. Good morning, everybody. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Don't forget, you can text us on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. I want to talk about this high school chemistry teacher out in Visalia, California. So they threw her in jail because she forcibly cut a student's hair in class. Now, I saw the video where this 52-year-old woman, Margaret Geisinger, was chasing students with scissors and then finally sitting one down and cut his hair. Now, I'm not defending the teacher in any way beyond saying the reaction is a little bit over the top.
No, you are going to defend the teacher.
No, she shouldn't be in jail for this, but she should absolutely be fired. There's something wrong with her. Like, she clearly snapped because she's singing the Star Spangled Banner while doing this, which makes no sense whatsoever. In fact, we'll play a clip.
Nice.
I was gonna say a cut, and then I went to a clip, but then I realized it's the same.
It's like hair. Yeah. Clip hair. Well done.
You're not done.
Okay.
Take a seat.
Now, the kid...
What?
Sits down. Now she grabs the kid by the head. And she cut a piece of his hair off. Now, you know, kids are laughing, which is what they generally would do in a situation like this. It's kind of nervous laughter of, oh my God, I can't believe she's doing this. She didn't cut that much hair off. I thought originally, like, she shaved his head, Or, but she cut off like a small piece of his head. His hair.
Any amount is inappropriate.
No, I'm not saying it's appropriate. I'm saying the way that this story was originally talked about does not match the actual video. She cut off maybe about a half an inch of hair, not even enough where like there's not a bald spot as a result of this. It was just a piece of the hair. Like,
you're saying you had a tough time picturing when someone told you that a teacher was singing the Star Spangled Banner and cutting off students'
hair?
Did
you not immediately think a lot of hair was cut off?
I guess, but that doesn't make... When I finally saw it, I get what you're saying, but it didn't impact the way that I felt at all. I still felt,
really?
Wow, the heck?
This is the problem of, like, it's the over-promise, under-deliver thing. Like, you promised me, like, just the worst kind of haircut and abuse that I've ever seen. Because, I mean, they threw this woman in jail. And I look, I'm like, it wasn't that bad. Kid kind of needed
yes, it was.
And, no, it just, it wasn't. Now, one student here.
Wouldn't you rather have it all shaved and be even than one patch missing?
I'm saying I don't think there was even a patch missing. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't that much. If you were to look at this kid without knowing what had happened, I don't think you would have said, oh, there's something weird going on with your hair.
Maybe you'd go, oh, did you get gum stuck in your hair?
No, there was no.
Yeah, no, it was big enough that there would be a patch missing.
There was definitely. Go back and watch the video. There's definitely not enough to take out a patch. I'm telling you, there's not enough to take out a patch.
We think she's going to try to be funny and be like, "Oh, did you really think I was going to cut his hair?" But she did cut a hair off, and she started singing the Star Spangled Banner, and she was singing it extremely loudly as she like ceremoniously tossed this chunk of hair behind her.
It wasn't that bit of a chunk. Here's the thing. So some kid in the back. Big baby. He ran out of the classroom and went to the administrators. There's always one of those rats.
See, you're taking the wrong side again.
Rats. No, I mean, the teacher should be fired. She should not be allowed to teach. I don't think this is something that you throw her in jail for.
Okay, maybe not jail, but you don't have to shame the kid for telling somebody.
Well, I think we should also start pushing out the rats, too.
She's got scissors in her hand, and she snapped. Maybe she's dangerous.
She cut a little piece of hair off.
I hope I never have to see her at that school again.
Oh, and by the way, why are we changing the voice of this kid from KFSN TV?
Because she's dangerous.
Yeah, but they know who the kid is. You think they don't know? They're the one kid who ran out of the building when this happened and then showed up with the principal is probably the one who's doing this interview. I'm just saying. Well, what do they think is going to happen?
She's got scissors.
Oh, shut up. We got
stab or cut off other things?
I never have to see her at that school again because I know for a fact that I will never be able to see her as a respectable authority figure in my life.
Was that the reason? So not even, I'm just terrified because I got a really nice haircut right now and I think she's going to pose a threat. She was put, her bail was set at $100,000. That's overkill. Come on. That's overkill. She's clearly dealing with some sort of mental breakdown based upon the singing loudly and cutting kids' hairs. Again, I'm not defending her action. I'm just saying it's not as bad as we were told. It's just not as bad.
You kind of are defending.
You know what's bad is when we say, you know, a teacher taped some kid who's on the spectrum. She tapes him down to a chair. Like, that stuff is awful. And you're like, what are you doing? This isn't even on that level.
Sure, but
not on that level.
Is this a competition for the craziest
it could
teacher?
Be. Why not?
She snapped. I mean, I'm not upset that she went to jail for this.
I'm saying
I think it does sound a little extreme, but
it's crazy.
But I don't know. This is not an okay person.
Here, I'm going to show you. I'm going to take out of your head the amount of hair she took out. No one's going to notice. Where are my scissors?
No.
Where are my scissors?
Oh, no. He found some.
Just come in here.
No.
No, come in here. We'll make it into a video.
No.
Rob will do it.
Okay.
Because he wants to take your job. Rob will do it. He's training.
Okay, fine. You can cut his hair.
Okay, Rob, get in here during the break. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Really appreciate you tuning in each and every weekday morning. Don't forget, give me a like on Facebook, facebook.com/Jason Rantz Show. In fact, if you go there right now, you can go behind the scenes of the show. You can participate in some polls that we've got going on, see video, photos, engage in debates. Go to facebook.com/Jason Rantz Show. If we get 20 likes, 20 new likes by the end of the show at 9 o'clock today, I will post an embarrassing photo of producer Rob, who is learning how to do this show. Darren has been training him for the past week. He's been doing a good job, but he did something really embarrassing, and I took a photo of it, and I'm going to post it and humiliate him if we get 20 likes by the end of the show, because that's what we do. We humiliate and embarrass staff to fulfill my egotistical demands of more likes on Facebook. Facebook.com/JasonRantShow. And Darren, I showed you the photo. You said I couldn't post it. It was that bad.
Yeah.
Were you just conferring with him? Don't tell him what the photo is.
No, he was demanding that I don't talk about it even.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, he knows. He's realizing what the photo is.
Yeah.
Rob,
he's in trouble.
Yeah, he could even.
He must
be fired
know
for
because
this.
It's the most embarrassing thing he's ever done, and you happen to capture it.
That always happens when you do something embarrassing around me. I'm always there with my phone, and I'm always documenting it. So Facebook.com/JasonRantsShow, and this is a good experience for Rob, who's going to quickly find out how evil the audience is, because we've already almost hit the 20 number on the Facebook page. And I've only been talking about it for like 30 seconds. Facebook.com/JasonRantsShow. Big weekend for University of Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray. He won something that only a few people have won in their history.
The 2018 Heisman Trophy is awarded to Kyler Murray of Oklahoma University.
And obviously he was especially proud of this achievement. And he was quite humble in his acceptance.
I just need to reiterate that, you know, I know this is an individual award, but I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my teammates, my family.
He should just be like, I just want to say, you know, we always say the team and thank them. I did this all myself. I did it literally all myself. That's why it's not a team trophy. It's a Heisman Trophy going to one person.
Coaches and Sooner Nation. So to everybody, I want to say thank you and Boomer.
So good for him. Except the problem is his celebration was short-lived. His celebration was short-lived because of a hack of a journalist for USA Today decided to publish a story taking issue with quote-unquote homophobic tweets that he put up when he was 14 and 15 years old. 14 and 15 years old, he put up some tweets in which I'm told he used an anti-gay slur, and I looked at it because I was just kind of wondering what it was. The one that they linked to was he called his friends queer. He goes, y'all are queers. That's what he did. I know. Unbelievable. And it was done in an offensive way, and he certainly shouldn't talk like that now, but that was when he was 14 or 15 years old. Then Scott Gleason, this craven hack of a journalist, wrote, when Murray was 15 years old, he tweeted at his friends via his since-verified Twitter account, using an anti-gay slur to defame them. Four offensive tweets remained active on his account late Saturday night, but were eventually deleted by Sunday morning when Murray apologized for his insensitive language in a tweet. Now, here's my problem with this kind of attack, because that's what this is. This is an attack. It's an attack, by the way, on the 14, 15-year-old kid who's currently 21. This journalist, and I use that phrase very loosely, he was either sitting on this material for a while, just waiting to unleash it on Kyler Murray after he wins this award, which means apparently it's not as serious as this guy apparently believes it to be, because if it was that serious, he would have used it months ago when he found this. Or the second that Kyler Murray was announced the winner, Scott Gleason from USA Today just ran on Twitter and searched a whole bunch of different keywords to see what negative story he can come up with. This is not news in any way, shape, or form. This is not news. This is a 14 or 15-year-old kid who said something by 2018 standards is wrong, but back when he said it, was not really all that. We weren't having this woke conversation about language. This is so disgusting that someone tries to bring down this kid who was just trying to celebrate a monumental achievement. But it couldn't even let go for a few hours being happy about what he just did, his successes, his bright future, without USA Today attacking. And I am proud to say that people push back so hard at this story by USA Today. Because on Twitter, when they posted this, they got so ratioed. Ratioed means you're getting more negative comments than you are likes and retweets. And yesterday, because I sent out a tweet attacking this, and it got retweeted by a whole bunch of blue check marks. I don't know how they found it, but a whole bunch of them. And then Ben Shapiro retweeted. Then it got retweeted by even more people. This has been, I think, my most successful tweet I've ever sent out, calling this guy out for what he is. People fought back. And I'm so glad that people did not sit back and let this poor kid get attacked by some loser from USA Today who's trying to make a story where none exists. And the original story before the apology was, and these tweets remain active even after he was announced to be the Heisman Trophy winner. Do you think he remembers every single tweet he sent out 4, 5, 6 years ago? I don't remember tweets I sent out yesterday beyond this one tweet attacking Scott Gleason. I don't remember any of the tweets I sent out. And this was yesterday. But we're supposed to remember what we did as a 14 and 15-year-old kid. It's just disgusting. I'm so proud of the people who fought back.
But this is a good lesson for people that to keep your social media clean.
No. It's not.
No.
That's not the lesson here. No, it's not. Because we're judging a kid by 2018 standards. Now, what is appropriate today, or not even being discussed as offensive today, is going to be offensive in 5 years. And we should not be judged by what is the standard at a time it doesn't even exist yet. That is just flatly wrong. Now, I agree with the general sense of, you know, understand that when you tweet something out, the public will see it, even if you have it on private or protected status. People are still going to see it, so maybe be a little bit careful. What he did 5 years ago was not deemed all that offensive. In fact, there were way worse language that he could have used that he chose not to. He said queers. Oh my gosh. I'm not offended. Now, Scott Gleason is telling me I should be offended as a gay person. I should be offended that he called someone queers, this anti-gay slur to defame his friends. What was the intent? Was it nefarious?
To fame?
No, it wasn't.
I hope my friends lose their fame.
It's so unbelievable what people think they can get away with under the guise of journalism. This is not journalism. This isn't. This reminds me of what Kevin Hart just had to go through. Kevin Hart, several years ago, and this was, 8 years ago? 9 years ago? He sent out some tweets in which he used anti-gay slurs. He did it not because he was being nefarious. He didn't do it because he hates gay people. He was doing it because he was joking. He's a comedian. And he used commentary that was deemed offensive by 2018 standards, not necessarily by 2001 standards or 2010 standards or 2005 standards or even 2016 standards. He was announced the new host of the Oscars until these tweets, quote unquote, resurfaced, meaning they went looking for these tweets. They put his name into Twitter and then searched the F word and queers and all this other stuff and found it to put enough pressure on him where he decided to step down. So Nick Cannon, who is the most annoying person in the world, he did something that I really appreciate. He went back. I think he's making a slightly different point than I would make. But he went back and he searched some nasty jokes that were said by woke progressive female comedians. Specifically, Chelsea Handler, who's one of the worst people in the world. I've interviewed her. She's the nastiest person. She's just a mean-spirited person. They looked up Amy Schumer, who's not a comedian. She's just an annoying person. And who else did they do? Sarah Silverman. Now, he found all of these nasty jokes that they made that included anti-gay slurs used to defame people, as Scott Gleason would say over at USA Today. And he said, interesting, I wonder if there's any backlash here. And there hasn't been. He points to Chelsea Handler, who tweeted, this is what a F-word bird looks like when he flexes, included a photo that was taken down, so I don't know what the photo was. Amy Schumer, enjoy Skyfall, F-words. I'm about to get knee-deep in Helen Hunt, hashtag The Sessions, which was a movie that Helen Hunt had at the time. Sarah Silverman, I don't mean this in a hateful way, but the new Bachelorette is a F-word. Now, no pushback at all from any of this. Amy Schumer's still known as this woke progressive comedian who won't even do a Super Bowl ad that no one invited her to do because of her position on how the NFL treated Colin Kaepernick. The thing is, now, I think Nick Cannon is trying to make a point of there's a difference between how black men are treated and white women. I don't think that's what this is about. I think what this is about is you've got three women who, even if they were men, are woke progressives who are currently sort of riding that line, towing the line of being that woke progressive, speaking out against social injustices. And Kevin Hart, I have no idea what his politics are. That's not what he does. He does what an actual comedian is supposed to do, which is try to be funny. And sometimes he succeeds, sometimes he fails. I think he fails more than he succeeds. I don't find any of his stand-up funny, and I think his movies suck. But he's got a personality, I'll give him that. But because he's not known as being a woke progressive, he's not given a pass the way that Sarah Silverman and Amy Schumer and Chelsea Handler are given. Chelsea Handler says horrible things on a regular basis on Twitter, like nasty, mean-spirited things that aren't remotely funny. She's given a pass because she's going after conservatives, she's going after Trump. Now, if Kevin Hart had a background of going after President Trump, if he had a background of being a woke progressive, standing up for Colin Kaepernick and whatnot, he would not be getting attacked. So I don't agree with what I think Nick Cannon's position is, but I agree with what he's doing in pointing out the inconsistencies here. We should not be judging people based on standards that did not exist when the comments were made originally. If you disagree with me, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho live at the Online Trading Academy studio. Keep those likes coming. We're super close to getting to that goal. Facebook.com/Jason Rance Show. It's all one word. Please don't go to /Jason Rance. That's not the right one. Go to Jason Rance Show on Facebook and hit the like button. This is an interesting story because usually it's a story about a school not sticking up for Christmas, specifically Christmas expression. And yet that's what's happening in Omaha, Nebraska, granted under the threat of a lawsuit by the Liberty Council. The principal of Manchester Elementary School in Elkhorn, Nebraska, finds himself on administrative leave after sending a directive to staff to ban certain religious Christmas decorations in the classroom. And this list is insanely long of what you're not supposed to allow. Like, insanely long. It says you can't even have Santa's or Christmas items in the form of clip art on worksheets. You can't have Christmas trees in the classroom. That one kind of makes sense to me. You can't have an elf on the shelf that's Christmas related. You can't play any Christmas music. You can't make a Christmas ornament as a gift. Why? This assumes that the family has a Christmas tree, which assumes they celebrate Christmas. I challenge the thought of, well, they can just hang it somewhere else. That's actually what the principal said. Can't have any Christmas candy canes. The principal says that's Christmas related. Historically, the shape of a J is for Jesus.
What? Is that something I'm just now learning? Or?
No, because candy canes are held the opposite way.
And
okay?
They're cane-shaped.
Not a J. Oh, my God.
They're canes. Walking cane.
The red is for the blood of Christ, and the white is a symbol of his resurrection. This would also include different colored candy canes. So not even the ones with the green, which, by the way, the green, red, and white are the best ones. This is my favorite one of all. This is what is not acceptable to have in your classrooms. Red or green items. That's all. It just says red/green items. They say that's traditionally Christmas colors.
Throw out all the colored pencils.
This is not, well, at least the red and green ones.
If you have a green chalkboard still, get rid of that.
The district spokesperson said the principal, who I said, I misgendered, my apologies. The principal is a female. Jennifer Sinclair is her name. She's a new principal and did not consult with the administrators about school policy concerning the handling of religious holiday themes. Why is this so important? Because they were going to get sued. Here's Matt Staver, the founder of the Liberty Council, which is an organization that's geared towards advancing religious freedoms.
But for the fact that some school staff got us involved, she would have been the Grinch in Manchester.
Okay,
and would have sent a very terrible message to the school district. We were prepared, had the school not responded appropriately, to file suit this week.
I mean, this is what's the worst of social justice warriors. Now, let's just say, for the sake of argument, there's some atheist kid or a Jewish kid. There's not many in Nebraska, but or Elko, Nebraska, at least. Let's just go with that. And let's say that kid got a candy cane as part of, he got a good grade, and the teacher's giving out candy canes. What's the worst that can happen?
What's
legitimately the worst that can happen? For a moment, you say, oh, I'm Jewish. I don't celebrate Christmas. And then you eat the candy. That's the absolute worst that could happen. Unless you've got the kind of parent who tells you this kind of slight should like be the equivalent of being slapped across the face, that it's so deeply offensive. And I usually take this position of atheists in general, of let's say you're exposed, you're walking down the street and in front of a government building, they have a Christmas tree. And you believe that this goes too far, this is a violation of the Establishment Clause, there should be a clear line between a government establishment of religion and whatnot. What happens to you when you walk across and you see that Christmas tree or nativity scene? How are you damaged? They show you something they believe and you don't. Okay, let's just go with it. I believe a whole bunch of stuff that others don't. You can let it impact you. Or you can just move on and not pretend that it caused you any grief whatsoever. Because the truth is it doesn't. It doesn't harm these kids. It doesn't harm the adult who pretends so. There are no victims whatsoever. There are literally no victims whatsoever. Well, what about the Jewish kid? As a Jew, I can tell you I've never heard any complaints, and all Jews know each other, and we have these weekly meetings. It's the Jewish meeting. And I've never heard one time, not one time, a single Jewish person in my 36 years on this earth, or 28 if we're going by my Tinder age, I've never, ever, ever heard any Jew complain about any kind of Christmas display, ever, ever in the history of it. Ever. Literally never. There are no victims here.
This is all in an effort to be more inclusive, right?
Yes.
So by including no one, we're now being
by including
more
no
inclusive.
One, you include everyone, I guess.
Right.
This is so ridiculous. And the problem is she probably thinks she's on the right side of this. No matter what, she's going to say to herself this principle. Oh, you know what? I shouldn't have taken this job in Elko, Nebraska. They're so backwards. But you know what? Thanks to my social justice warrioring, I'm going to be able to get everyone to be as evolved as I am. She's not the evolved one. Here's something that is acceptable on the list. And this is weird to me. You say you can't have any red or green items, but you can have snowmen and gingerbread people. They can't be gingerbread men or women. They have to be non-gendered, non-binary gingerbread people. Polar bears are okay, but reindeers are not. Scarves, boots, earmuffs, and hats. That's cool. Oh, gee, unless, by the way, they're red or green.
We can stay warm.
But if they're red or green, you got to get rid of them.
Thanks, teacher.
Burn them in front of the kid and say, no, you heathen. So silly. 1-800-465-8770 is the number to tax resolution hotline.